This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together. This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at barberdysonford.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
We hope to.
Gotta turn the mics up. We're back. You're tuned in to the Hour of Power, and our guest this morning is Pastor Tom Spence. Back to you, sir.
All right. I did a dangerous thing when I sneaked out at the...
Before we get started, back to your message, would you be kind and share about your church location, times of services, and anything else that you would like to share with us?
I hadn't got to be ornery this morning, so I'm going to be ornery now.
Yes.
It's not my church. The church belongs to the Lord. But the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, that part of his church, is right there on Highway 44 in Burns Flat, just north of the traffic light. It says God's Love in Action right on the side. Sunday mornings at 9 and 11, we have worship services. 9 o'clock is kind of the contemporary. 11 o'clock is more traditional. We do Christian education in between. You might call it Sunday school. I call it Christian education because there's this little thing going around. People think, oh, Sunday school is just for kids. No, we have Christian education for all ages. And in fact, we're trying to look at how do we get more people into Christian education, because there's a lot of people that don't have any Christian education. Yeah, I read my Bible verse today. Well, it could take a little bit more than that, and it's good to study the Bible in the company of other believers. But that's what we're doing. We will wrap up our Wednesday evenings this Wednesday, then we break for the summer. My teachers need a break. They're going to get a break. We need to be renewed, and then we'll come back in the fall. We kind of parallel the school year with that, and people are just going all over the place in the summer. They go all over the place during the year, too. But so 9 and 11, Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock for Christian education, and one more Wednesday night this night. Now, during the summer, we'll have some other things. We'll just announce and say, well, we're going to come in and just sing hymns or things like that. But that's our traditional schedule there. So 9 and 11, Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Burns Flat, says God's Love in Action on the side of the building. If you feel more comfortable somewhere else, there are other churches in town. Go try them. Don't sit at home and say, well, they'll judge me there. I'm going to tell you, the churches I know will receive you there. They will welcome you there. They will celebrate the fact that you're coming to worship the one true God. So that excuse, scratch it off your list, because time won't let you get away with it. In fact, I've started numbering my excuses, so when people come up with one, so that's number 247. No, that one doesn't work. Come and worship. 9 and 11 with us, you know, times similar to that. Baptist church across the street, Living Waters over by the football field. A couple Baptist churches in Dill City are part of the Ministerial Alliance, and we all work together to try to help the community in many different things, but we're always there Sunday mornings to proclaim good news. So does that check the box? All right. Now you know where we are and when we worship on Sunday morning, and the church belongs to Jesus. You got me on my honorary streak. People say, I'm going to church this morning. I say, no, you're not. What? Okay, you're going to go worship the church. You are the church. You are the church. Wherever you go, you are the church. In fact, probably 99.4%, like 44%. What's ivory snow? Like 99.44% pure ivory snow. Where we're like 99.44% the work we do for the Lord's outside of the church building. It's how we live out our lives, where people see us, where we interact with people. Now, worship is a powerful thing. We're told don't ever stop it, okay? We want to put a smile on God's face. But most of our lives, most of our worship, our service, those things is done as we walk out of that building. And we go out into the world, and we should be a light into the world. We should be the salt of the earth. People should taste God's goodness. And look at this, Monica, you got me out of Genesis. I'm proclaiming good news, which is fine, okay? But we are the church. All right. Is it time for me to get back to where we were in Genesis? Okay. Well, I'm going to.
After you give her some honoriness.
Okay. Well.
I received all of that.
You received it as yours. Okay. Okay. I just wanted
as
to make
iron
sure.
Iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We've sharpened some iron this morning. We're good. Okay. In fact, I don't have to do anything because your equipment gives you enough challenges as it is, as does mine in my office. But, okay. I said, you know, don't look at God's plan as some government program we don't qualify for. We are part of God's plan. We are all part of God's plan. And it's personal for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob. It's personal for us. It's personal for you. You have a part to play. And your part is not to build an ark. That part was taken. Okay? Your part's not to be the father of many nations. That part was taken. I like to do that in my Forrest Gump voice, you know, seat taken, you know, parts taken. Part's taken. Okay, it's not. That's not our deal. Your part's not going to be to go to the top of Mount Sinai and get written directions from God. That was done. Your part might be to talk to the person in line in front of you at Walmart or United or wherever you are. They just seem to be having the worst day of their lives. Now, every day might be like that for them. But why are you there at that moment? That might be part of God's plan. If this person said, man, I wish I was in a different line, you'd say, well, God, why couldn't you let me get in a different line? We should be saying, God, I'm trusting your plan. I need to talk to this person. I like to give them the little wristbands, especially if there's a kid screaming his head off. That normally stops the kid screaming. So read that wristband. There's a good message on there. And I usually start up a conversation. So when I run into those situations, I say, okay, I'm pretty sure God didn't put me here by accident. I walked right by three other registers. I could have stopped that, and I stopped at this one because the line only had 17 people in it or something. And I refused to go to self-checkout on that day for some unsubstantiated. I don't know. I ended up in that line. I'm trusting God's plan. I'm supposed to talk to this person. Oh, your part might be to start a home Bible study. It's like all of the Bible studies do not have to take place in the church building. In fact, home Bible studies are probably some of the better Bible studies out there. It might be to manage the food supply that we keep at the church building. Okay, because we always have hungry people. And right now, I kind of manage it, but I love it when someone comes and says, I want to do something. I says, well, can you tell the difference between peas and carrots? Yeah, okay, sometimes they're in the same can. You don't have to do it then, but otherwise put them in two separate spots and keep up with this and make sure we're not giving away food that's bad. And that could be somebody's part. God could be calling them to that part. Some people are called to ordain ministry. Yes, God does come knock at your door and say, I want you to go preach the word of God as an ordained minister, an ordained elder, or a deacon, or some other kind of official sort of thing that we would look at. Of course, a preacher got called by God. Well, we all get called by God to do different things. We are part of the plan. And I'm going to tell you, if you're my age and you think, I think God's calling me to ordain ministry, but he doesn't want some old, worn-out guy like me. Well, guess what? More and more people my age, you know, I was called in, I think I was early 50s. Been a crusty old Marine for 20 years, did a few other things. And when I got to my seminary, it's like, half the people here are my age. God calls who he wants to call. And it's not like you got to be, you know, 23 years right out of college to go to seminary. No, you don't. If God's calling, you better answer. You're not going to be happy with your life unless you answer your call. It might be to minister to children as a teacher in a public school. That can be a calling from God. There's a lot of restrictions put on you now, so you have to be very creative, and you have to really rely on that being a light to the world. Kids need to see light because there's a lot of darkness in the world. It might be you're going to be the person who introduces your neighbors to each other. You know, back in the day, one of those things that us old people talk about when people knew their neighbors, you'd sit on the front porch, you were sitting here with your thumbs looking straight down at your phone. There'll be a lot of, you know, work for doctors that can fix thumbs and neck injuries in the decades to come. You know, back when you knew, maybe you're the person who's going to have the block party and say, let's get to know each other, and occasionally let's talk to each other. Okay, you might be that person. You might be the one to take some of the lost children that we see on Wednesday nights and get themselves there, or that their parents zoom in the parking lot, drop them off, and zoom away before I can talk to them, and make a difference in their lives outside of that hour and a half we get them on Wednesdays. Okay, you might be a person that wants to go out and touch the lives of these children who have no godly influence, you know, for the other 180-some hours a week. We got a Gaga pit and a basketball court, and kids love to show up to Wednesday night early. I got no one to supervise them, and you know, the people that are inside are making the meal and stuff. Someone in our church might be called, it's God's church, but in our congregation, you should have called me on that. You know. Might be called to go out there and just supervise a little, talk to them, let kids know that God loves them. It's more than just, you know, throwing a ball around. Okay. In our community, yes, there are plenty of parents that Tom thinks ought to be taken out behind the dumpster on the east side of the building and let Tom beat some sense into him and some parenting skills, but that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. It's like, but God, if you just give me two or three times a year, we could change the direction. But that is not God's plan. But when God tugs at your heart, and he does, we don't see too many cases of people sleeping on rocks and having a vision. God tugs at our heart because God is in us, in the spirit that lives within us. And we don't have to have a vision or a dream, but God is talking to us. When God's spirit tugs at your heart, don't think, if I don't do this, God will just get someone else. Well, God could get someone else, but if we look at the story of Abraham, Isaac, and now we're up to Jacob, if God chooses you, he chose you. He chose you. Even in all of Abraham's screwball mistakes and this thing with Hagar and passing his wife off as his sister and all this other stuff, God didn't say, okay, you're fired. God knew exactly who he called. So I'm calling a fallible human being who's going to make some mistakes, who's going to do some stupid stuff, who's going to have a bunch of hold my beer moments, you know, all those things that we would look at and say, really, God really chose that guy? Yes, he did. God chose him. And God chooses us. God chooses us. And we should never think our part is too big or too small. Oh, I can't handle that, God. Or what? It's just a little thing. Why do you want me to do? We should never think our part too big, too small. Like it or not, we are part of God's plan. So here's Tom's part to remind people today. Don't fight it. In fact, I would say enjoy it. It's God's plan. Enjoy it. God has good plans for you. Enjoy it. We'll put it this way. Who do you think has come up with the better plan for your life? You or God? And I'm going to tell you, if you are still leaning on your own understanding, you're going to say, well, of course, I got a better plan. Of course I do. But if you've learned to trust God, you'll say, okay, God does. Okay. Trust God's plan. It's not what I'm telling you God's plan is for your life, though some people might get an affirmation from me. I see this happening with you. So, well, I think God's telling you to. Well, affirmations are good, but God's going to be the one tugging at your heart. It's not what the elders or deacons of your church or whatever leadership you have tell you to do, but they will probably give you affirmations. They'll probably say, I see this happening with you. And we should be giving affirmations to people. It is the Spirit of God that lives within us that is leading you, that is making your path straight. There's that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. The Spirit of God is leading us on the path that God wants us to follow. So when we get tugged that way, we get nudged that way, whatever word we want to use to say the Spirit of God that lives inside me is talking to me, we need to listen. We need to pay attention. And we need to start walking that way. And the body of Christ might be your affirmation there. Just people in your congregation, people that aren't in your congregation but that follow Jesus will come up to you and say, man, I see this in you. And they will affirm that just as they would a spiritual gift. But we have a calling. We are part of God's plan. So trust in the Lord. Trust that you are part of God's plan and that your part of his plan is exactly what it should be. It's not up to us to decide, our part's too big, it's too small, I can't handle that, God. It seems puny. I mean, why are you giving me such a little deal here? So am I saying, do people redirect your life based on what God's telling me through his spirit? I don't know. I'm convinced that some of these odds and ends sort of things that God's telling me to do is really part of God's. God has big, grandiose plans, right? Why would he be telling me to do something little? Okay? God picks big things for big people. This little stuff, I'm called to do, that can't be from God, can it? Well, I'm going to jump out of Genesis. I'm going to go to 2 Kings 5 for a minute. There's a commander of an army, kind of like the general at the top of the army, very successful. It's the army of Aram. It's kind of up near Syria, north of Israel. Israel and Aram is not totally at war all the time, but plenty of border skirmishes. They have raids into each other's territory. But he had leprosy. The commander of the army of Aram had leprosy, and the VA in his country wasn't any good there. Okay, so they couldn't treat it. But Naaman's wife had a servant who had been captured from Israel, and she said, there is a prophet in Samaria who can cure you. So the servant girl told her master, she told her husband, and so Naaman wants to go get cured. I mean, who wants to walk around with leprosy, especially when you have such a high status? But he can't just go see the prophet because things aren't always good between Aram and Israel. And if he goes in by himself, he could be captured and he could be worth a lot in ransom. If he takes a huge bodyguard with him, it could be considered an invasion. So the general has to go see his king and say, I got to go see this prophet in Samaria. And the king says, you go do it. I'll take care of the protocols. So the king gets it all approved. And I'm shortening this story a whole bunch. But Naaman goes from Aram. He goes into Israel. He goes to the prophet's house in Samaria. And he's brought all these camels loaded down with stuff. He's going to pay this guy for making him well. And the prophet, Elisha, sends his servant to the door. Servant. To see this general, and said, go wash yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, and you'll be cleansed. And boy, was Naaman upset. Come on. Couldn't they have the band for me, roll out the red carpet? Couldn't the prophet himself at least come out and wave his arms at his God and say, do these things? And so he is ticked off, and he's about ready to go home. A servant. He couldn't even come out himself. I sent a servant to see me. Did you realize all the medals I got on my chest for the battles? I mean, you sent a servant to see me. But fortunately, Naaman had more than leprosy. He had good servants. He had faithful and trusted servants because they came to him when he was really angry and said, my father, my general, my leader, if the prophet had asked you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? If he had asked you to put 100 pounds on your back and run 100 miles, you know, to be worthy of this, would you not have done it? He's like, of course I would. He says, well, why not do the thing that he has been told to tell you through his servant? Yeah, okay, servants are cool people too. Okay, through his servant, but it came from his God. And so Naaman says, yeah, okay. So he went and washed 7 times in the Jordan River. And all the whole time, Naaman's thinking, Jordan River's a dirty river. They got clean rivers back where I come from. Why not, you know, cure me in a clean river? But he does it, and he's healed. We're told his skin, the leprosy was gone, was just like that of a new boy, a young boy, okay? Just nice, smooth skin, and it was gone. And why do I bring this story in here? Well, sometimes we're told to do things, and we think, yeah, God wouldn't ask me to do that thing. You know, if God wants me to do something, it's going to be something like build an ark. It's going to be something like go up to the top of that mountain. It's going to be one of these. Sometimes the message is just go do this thing, however simple it is. However simple it is. And that was the lesson that Naaman's servant taught him. If he told you to do a great thing, you do it. Why not do this small thing, this simple thing that the servant of the prophet of the Most High God has told you to do? Why not just do what you've been told to do? Why not get in step with God's plan? Now, Naaman wasn't necessarily one who subscribed to all this stuff that was going on in Israel and this guy, but he knew there was a prophet, and the prophet could do some stuff. And so he did what he was told, what the Most High God had told the prophet to tell the servant, to tell Naaman, who was kind of full of himself, Okay? And he did it, and it happened. He did the little thing. And I shortened that story a whole bunch. I'm going to skip over a whole bunch of my notes. Okay, now back to Genesis. Jacob renamed the place Bethel, the place where he slept, because the Lord was in that place. Today I want to remind everyone, the Lord is in you. The Lord is in you. We need to learn to hear him speak through the Spirit that lives within us. We need to learn to hear him speak, even if it's a small thing to do, even if it's a big thing. We need to learn to hear him speak. We don't need a dream. We don't need a vision. We don't need the prophet to come to the door. It's like, God, if you were really giving me this message, I'd get a look into heaven too. Oh, we don't need the prophet to come to the door. We don't need to see this vision from heaven. But if we were in constant communication with God, which we should be, we'll know that's God's voice. We'll know that's his voice. We're told his sheep know his voice. We'll know God's talking to me. He is. And we will know it. We don't need to see our part as grandiose to consider it part of God's plan. What's big or small, that's up to God. We don't need to see our part as so unique that no one else is doing it. Well, no one else got 10 commandments except Moses. I see other people out doing it. Well, if God calls us to do something, someone else is doing it. God wants us to do that part here. We shouldn't, you know, we need to trust that God has good plans for us. God has good plans for us, and he knows exactly what he wants us to do. God has not, you know, abdicated his throne. He is still in charge. Even when the world looks crazy, we need to trust that he has good plans for us. Trust that your part of his plan is exactly what is best for you. You are part of God's plan. Now back to Tom's take on this. Don't run from God's plan. Don't hide from God's plan. Embrace it and enjoy it. Embrace it and enjoy it. You say, well, sometimes God's plan seems like it's that three-year-old, you know, coloring two-year-old piece of paper, crayons going everywhere I put on the refrigerator. If that's God's plan, enjoy it. It's his plan, and he has good plans for us. And when we can get our mindset that way, when we get our hearts set that way, and understand that God really does have good plans for us, we not only will do it out of obedience, we'll enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole thing called abundant life, a lot of it comes from embracing God's plan, from enjoying God's plan. And I think that's where I'm going to wrap up. Monica's getting warmed up to say something.
I know, huh? So you said you was talking about the Holy Spirit lives in us. And this morning, I love you, Lord. As I was getting ready to walk out the door, the Lord had me grab these two cans. Okay?
I've seen those cans.
Yeah. These two cans, they're the same, company, same thing. There's just one difference.
That one missing something?
This one is still sealed and still has stuff in it. This one is open. So, will you come over here and do the iPad? Lord, let this work. Let this work, Lord. Okay, so. They're the same.
On the outside.
Mm-hmm. There's just a little difference. One's been drank, one hasn't. So, this one, help me not to fall, Lord. That one smashed because it was empty. Okay, Lord, this is where I need you.
If you smash this one, we're all getting wet.
Yeah, so, Lord, I need you now. It's kind of a tall can, y'all, so. It didn't smash. In life, we're going to have stuff happen. We're going to have stuff come at us. If we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, this life is going to crush us. Things in this life are going to crush you. It is the Holy Spirit within us that sustains us and keeps us.
And there we have it, a tactile and kinesthetic object lesson.
There's your visual of how the Holy Spirit works in his people. This is just a vessel. On its own. If it's not filled, what good is it to the kingdom? I mean, what good is it? Be filled. Be filled. So you can withstand life's challenges and trials.
For those who can't see everything going on behind the scenes, you have to hurdle to get from one side to the other. That's why Monica wouldn't ask me to do anything. I'm not hurdling anything.
Any final words, sir?
God loves you. Let's be known by our love.
Amen.
God loves you. Jesus loves you. And we all love you.
All right, trust his plan.
Amen.
You have been tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my beautiful sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Tom Spence. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.